Ugh, I love Jenny Kane. At this very moment, I'm feeling so comfy and cozy as I'm practically getting a hug from my Jenny Kane crop cashmere cocoon cardigan. I am enjoying this sweater so much that I've been living in it all spring long. And with Mother's Day just around the corner, this is a feeling you can gift all the well-deserving moms, moms-to-be, and mother figures in your life by giving them the gift of Jenny Kane. Along with bringing you this episode, Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed so super easy. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Jenny Kane means luxurious cashmere sweaters, iconic accessories, elevated versions of your everyday basics, plus the most incredible home essentials. For a limited time, Birthful listeners get 15% off their first order. Go to jennykane.com and use the code BIRTHFUL15 to get 15% off and support the show. Jenny Kane is known for their quintessential sweaters, with their cotton collection providing you with the perfect everyday pieces as the days get warmer. But they also have gorgeous sundresses in a variety of silhouettes for any occasion and spectacular sandals to go along with them. Find the perfect Mother's Day gift or curate your new spring go-tos at jennykane.com. Birthful listeners get 15% off your first order when you use the code BIRTHFUL15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code BIRTHFUL15. Get yourself and the mothers in your life the gift of Jenny Kane. Pregnancy and postpartum are some of the most nutritionally demanding times of your life, which makes sense because you're basically acting as your baby's pantry while pregnant or nursing. That's why the quality of your prenatal supplements is so vitally important. Hands down, the one I recommend is Needed. So I'm thrilled to say that if you use the code BIRTHFUL at thisisneeded.com, you can get 20% off your first month of Needed products. Needed is the number one nutrition brand recommended and used by me and over 4,000 practitioners, from nutritionists to midwives, functional medicine doctors, and OBGYNs. Needed is for anyone trying to conceive, pregnant, postpartum, and really, this is goodness you can use even before and beyond the perinatal years. Along with prenatals, Needed offers premium supplements for every stage, from egg quality support to a lactation support plan, a stress and sleep support plan, and a gut health plan. In fact, I've had clients rave about Needed's pre and probiotic formula, saying how much better it made them feel compared to their usual probiotics. And to me, Needed's hydration support packets, which only have ingredients you can pronounce, are a must in any doula or hospital bag. Also, Needed's prenatal multi is available in capsules and easy to take vanilla powder for those with nausea or pill fatigue. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. That's thisisneeded.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. Hey, mighty one. With nearly 300 Birthful episodes in over 5 years, it may be hard to know where to begin listening to the show. To make it easier, we've put together the Best of Birthful series, which showcases some of our favorite or most relevant episodes. This is one of those. If you enjoy what you hear, make sure you subscribe. It's free, and that way you won't miss a thing. Enjoy. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. My guest today is Kimberly Johnson, who came out with a book called The Fourth Trimester, A Postpartum Guide to Healing Your Body, Balancing Your Emotions, and Restoring Your Vitality. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adriana.
Yay. So I am very excited to be talking with you about restoring vitality after birth. And so give us a little bit of background for the listeners who are not familiar with you. How did you get to the place where you're writing a book on the first trimester?
Well, I, like a lot of women, was really prepared for birth and had a birth plan and made a lot of adjustments in my life so that I could have the birth that I really wanted to have. And then, like many women, also, I just was completely surprised by how difficult the postpartum period was for me. And I had no idea that the potential physical ramifications would be. So I ended up with chronic lower back and SI pain, hemorrhoids, fecal incontinence, just all of these super unpleasant symptoms that I had never experienced before and had not even conceived of experiencing. So I was told that I needed a full pelvic floor surgical reconstruction. I knew that there was no way that I wanted that, and I doubted that that would even help me. I started just, you know, doing everything that I could to understand what was happening with me, because I really knew that it wasn't just, number one, a personal problem. I knew, number two, it wasn't a women's health problem. And then thirdly, I recognized, like, this, there's something archetypal about this. There's something bigger than me that's happening right now that I just am trying to figure out. And so I started traveling and going to other cultures, and mostly in Asia, where there's very specific care for women postpartum. And I started to see that there was similarities among them. And then when I found sexological body work and somatic experiencing trauma resolution work, that's where I got the most healing and very significant, profound, and efficient results. I just started realizing, you know, that when I searched holistic postpartum care online, all I found was, like, I think like 500,000 entries on postpartum depression, and that postpartum depression is real and that it exists. And I know about the history of women's health and how quick we are to call things hysteria or to assign them this it's easier to say it's a mental health problem than it is to address the underlying societal cultural framework that places women in a position where they're more predisposed to have difficulty. Even now, when I tell people, say, what's your book about? And I say, you know, I've learned to say it in many different ways, because if I say it's about the postpartum period, people automatically assume that it's about depression, instead of recognizing it as a period of time that any woman goes through if she's had a baby or a miscarriage or a loss or an abortion. And so the book is the synopsis of my personal experience with all of these things, including prolapse, and then the case studies of the women that I've worked with, and those are called community stories in the book. So it's like, it's the book that I wish that I would have had, putting together the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the sexual, the archetypal parts of all the changes we go through becoming mothers.
So focusing on restoring our vitality after birth and our topic today, you know, I think we need to define a bit what that means, because there's this great misconception that it's about getting your body back, getting back to like where, how things were before baby, which is, you know, not even possible. But there's culturally, we've got these representations that that is a possibility. So I think part of our this conversation of restoring the vitality after birth is defining a bit of, you know, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting, because in English, we say life force, vitality, or life force. But that's usually just being used as a translation for prana or chi, or these concepts of our vital energy, our essence, our the thing that makes us us, that are very obvious to anywhere where Chinese medicine is the foundation of life understanding. Because the just like in India, Ayurveda wasn't, it's not medicine separate from spirituality, separate from, you know, human development. And so, you know, restoring vitality, it doesn't necessarily look like becoming the person you were. But for me, you know, my postpartum period lasted 6.5 years. And the way that I demarcate that is because that's when I felt like I had full access to my life force again, and that my physical body was repaired to the extent that I could use it how I wanted to use it, and that I felt available to life in the same way that I had felt previously.
With Mother's Day coming up fast, are you looking to get your mom, grandma, or mother figure a gift that they'll actually love? You know, something that is treasured instead of dying out or collecting dust? If so, you need to know about mylifeinabook.com, which is a service that helps turn their life stories into a beautiful book that can be passed down. How amazing is that? And the process couldn't be easier. Basically, if they can use email, they can create their book. Every week, My Life in a Book will send them an email with a prompt question to get them started. And if they don't like the question, they can easily edit it or change it. We gave a My Life in a Book to a family member that always wants to document all family get-togethers through images. And let me tell you, the process of sending the gift was super simple, even letting us choose the date we wanted the gift to be sent. I'm so looking forward to discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. And since My Life in a Book lets you add an image with each answer, she can now share the story that goes along with her many photos. Another great thing is that the answers can be edited at any time before the book is printed, in case she wants to add anything else. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use the code BIRTHFUL at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 10% off today. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and sometimes I find that investing gets put off because it doesn't seem urgent or because with our busy lives, we may not have the time to research and manage said investments, which is why I so appreciate that Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future and that you don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. So, for example, I take advantage of Acorns' roundup feature where they round up the purchase amounts I make in my linked account to the nearest dollar, and then they automatically transfer that to my invest account portfolio. Also, Acorns can recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. For me, that's easy peasy investing. Head to acorns.com/birthful or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/birthful. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC Acorns is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com. What does restoring your vitality look like? And you mentioned 6.5 years. What do you think is realistic in terms of expectations for a person to, you know, approach how long feeling restored might take?
I think that it really, you know, the postpartum period kind of takes the lid off of everything that's not resolved. And then there's also some very concrete things that contribute to postpartum healing. So there is an element that one can control and prepare for, and then there's elements that one cannot control and perhaps can't anticipate ahead of time. But if we are doing our part to do the preparation, then those things that are out of our control won't create so much difficulties. And so, you know, there's so many variations on what is creating the most challenge or the biggest growth opportunity postpartum. And people are for sure, their eyes bulge out of their heads when I say 6.5 years. I think it's divided. Some people are incredibly relieved because they're like, well, that's kind of sound, like that's the first sound thing I've heard, because it's certainly not 6 weeks. But, you know, I think every woman who's been through it is like, how long is this going to be? And that could be when they're 3 weeks postpartum, or that could be when they're 10 years postpartum and they're admitting, you know what, this really started after I had a baby, but I never took care of it.
But in terms of things that are helpful for restoring that vitality, and how do you even prepare for that? Let's go first with like restoring the vitality. What are some things people should look out for and sort of support?
So in the book, I talk about the five universal needs, and those are what I had identified across cultures where that these are things that every woman needs, no matter where she lives and how old she is and when she gives birth. It's just what women need after they have a baby. And the first one is an extended rest period. So that's 30 to 45 days to 60 days where a woman doesn't really leave the house. And she's mostly resting and still. And I really can't emphasize that enough, because most of the time there are some people who come through birth with birth injuries. But a lot of times what has happened is that a person has not rested adequately enough, and then the symptoms ensue. So slowing down, resting. The second one is nourishing food. And that means warming foods, foods that are collagen dense and mineral rich and high in saturated fat. Every culture has specific foods that women are given after they have a baby. You know, in Korea, it's a lot of seaweed soups. In Hong Kong, it's black chicken soup. All over the world, there's like very specific things that women are given postpartum, and that's to help the tissues rebuild. It's to help the ligaments, the 16 ligaments that hold the uterus in place. The third thing is nourishing touch. So loving touch. Every culture has a bodywork practice that goes together with the postpartum period. And then the next is the company of wise women. So women are surprised to hear, but I everywhere I go, I tell people, women with new moms with babies shouldn't be alone with babies for more than 2 or 3 hours at a time. Like, to be alone with a baby all day, anyone is going to end up depressed and low energy with a diminished vitality, because we're not meant to be alone in that period of time. This is where the village comes in, and people kind of look at me like, well, this is all just impossible. Like, or either this is expensive or this is impossible. And we just have to get creative about it. It is possible. And even if you can only do 25% of what I'm saying, it will make an exponential difference. Because even if you can only afford to hire a postpartum doula to come one day a week for 3 hours, knowing that that person is going to come every Friday and that person is going to come to take care of you. You know, most people's postpartum plan is like, my husband's got 2 weeks off of work. And I just am like, okay, and what's your postpartum plan? Because 2 weeks is a flash, and a partner is not a postpartum plan, because they don't know the specific needs that women have postpartum, and they're not equipped to fulfill all those needs. So it requires really making ourselves a protagonist of the experience and setting ourselves up for success, believing that our health and our body matters just as much as the baby's does, and that it's a way of preserving relationship and preserving intimacy.
Yeah. And I know that for anybody who's hearing this and hasn't had a baby, that this sounds like, and you've had the same experience, that it sounds like, wait a second, how am I not even going to like get out of my house in 60 days. But is the trying to rest the most important of the five? Like, are they exponential and build on each other?
So in Chinese medicine, you know, the essence is talked about in two different ways. And essentially, if we are yin deficient, which often happens in the postpartum period, then there's no life force to draw from. So the only way to replenish that is through resting and good food. But if you're eating good food and you're not really resting, so either that means you're not taking the time to rest, or that when you do have the time to rest, that your body's actually not able to downregulate itself, which is where the foods and the touch come in, and relating comes in to help your system downshift. Then you can eat all the good foods and do all the rest of the things, but you don't really have that essential life force essence to pull to the surface to give you what you need for the healing process. And how you do it is just like people are now knowing about meal trains. You put together a chore train, and you put together a friend train, and you ask people to come and visit you and stay with you. And you realize that this is not an individual experience, that even if you have only a so-so relationship with your mom or your mother-in-law, as long as it's good enough, that you are going to need more help than you think that you will. new mothers need to be mothered. Everything that they're giving to the baby, the loving touch, the eye contact, the vocal intonations, a new mother also needs that. So where is that mother getting it from?
And I really appreciate that analogy of whatever you're giving, it needs to come back. Somebody needs to give some of that back to you.
Right. And we make a mistake because we think that because, you know, where we are in our culture is like genders are equal and all genders, not just the binary genders. So genders are equal. And so everyone should be able to do an equal amount of things. But anyone who's birthed a baby and been in any kind of remote partnership or even not in partnership knows that it's not equal. And so rather than trying to turn the other parent into an equal parent, it would be better that that other parent protects the birth space, protects the mother, makes sure that the mother has what she needs so that she can attune to the baby.
So in the concept of restoring, right, the more you can shore up ahead of time, the less that goes away, kind of like the less you have to restore. So what are some of the things that can be done during pregnancy to support that transition and help set the stage for this nurturing during the fourth trimester?
Yeah, so I do recommend doing a postpartum plan. And what that entails is just kind of, number one, before you have the baby, having a couple of conversations with your partner, just talking about what do you think is going to be different? How do you both usually deal with stress? What expectations do you have of each other? What are realistic? Which are not realistic? In the book, there's even some like conversation starters and like ways to have that conversation. You know, it's great to research in your area. Who are the pelvic floor PTs? Get a pelvic floor physical therapy session scheduled because everybody thinks, oh, that my muscles are just too loose. But is that true? And is there scar tissue? And do you need some rehabilitative work on your pelvic floor? Because essentially what's going on in our pelvis affects our mental health, affects how we're feeling about engaging with our partner, affects how we're feeling about if it would be possible for us to exercise and what would be healthy exercise.
When's a good time to schedule that visit? I know the 6 week is like when you usually see your primary care, but for a PT, should you wait until then or do it earlier? What do you think?
I usually don't see people till 6 weeks just because I feel like that's safer. You know, if people really are having huge problems, then I will make a house call, but I don't really want women even leaving their house before 6 weeks. So I don't want them to come to an appointment with me before then. And I just recommend that women, you know, that you ask your practitioner for that referral because many doctors actually, you know, it's confounding and it seems impossible, but a lot of doctors don't really know about pelvic floor physical therapies.
So you do the postpartum plan, you get your resources for pelvic floor PT, and once you have the baby, like have somebody like figure out how to schedule a visit. What other things can you do?
Well, you can have a postpartum doula. So you can save resources or ask family members rather than giving you baby clothes to contribute to your postpartum care so that you can have somebody come to your house. You know, eventually, right now, we're trying to recreate something. You know, we knew how to do this. We used to live in community. And 100 years ago, this was obvious. A woman had a baby and neighbors are just bringing over food because that's what you do. But now we're trying to restore these traditions. And so those of us who are at the forefront of it, we have to do a lot of educating. That's why the book is helpful, because instead of our moms feeling like, why are you, like, what's wrong with you that you can't take care of yourself? I didn't get help. Why do you need so much help? It's just you can give the book and it's a common resource that you can refer to that gives the background on why this isn't luxurious. Plus, you know, we live in a culture that is so hyper self-sufficient that asking for help is seen as vulnerability or weakness. And so we really have to practice doing that. It's not comfortable at first.
Yeah. And I think giving yourself that permission to receive the help is a huge shift. I have a postpartum plan worksheet that I give my clients and it's on the website too. And I actually call it a postpartum vacation plan. For as much as we're hyper self-sufficient and go, 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 go and have to do everything stronger, longer, better. One of the things we do kind of know how to do culturally is take vacations. And That's the sort of mental space where we give ourselves permission to actually do nothing, to sleep in. So I find it's helpful to reframe it as that, as like you're going on a very weird vacation. So I find that's helpful. But we need a cultural shift. We definitely figure out how to get people to be okay with doing this.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like so, it's such a huge conversation and there's so many ways that we could be practicing it, you know, like if we were really resting one day of our cycle or on the new moon, and that really meant, you know, going inside and communing inside, then we would have a little bit of practice at it. Because it's one thing to say, I'm going to rest, and it's another thing to actually know how to rest. And most people are operating in a very high level of sympathetic arousal most of the time. And so to be able to downshift and surrender to that rhythm where you're not being productive and you don't have a to-do list that's like getting checked off. And a lot of people have unknowingly connected their self-worth to those things. And so, you know, it's a radical shift for everyone. And there are ways to practice this. You know, I mentioned resting when you have your period. There's also just slow exploratory sex, you know, doing sex differently, not having the kind of sex that's about 20 minutes and you do me, I do you, and you get off and I get off and we call it good. It's like, you know, setting aside hours at a time, because female arousal takes 45 minutes. Like, we shouldn't even be penetrated until we're fully aroused. And a lot of women have never even experienced that. So allowing for that time of connection and embodiment and breathing and rhythmic cycles is another way to practice the downshift and the relaxation, you know, I call it in the book, loosening your grip, like loosening the grip of this solid identity. So again, you know, we're in a stage of reinvention. And I think a lot of people are realizing that, you know, we've moved, many people have moved away from formal religion. And there's a lot of attempts at sort of filling what formal religion does for people, which is, you know, create a weekly ritual of community, of some kind of devotion to a higher power. And we're struggling as a culture to try to figure out how to fill that gap in and what goes there. So, you know, it's meaningful for people to get together, but what women really need is to hear each other's stories. Women need to hear from each other, like, what is it that you wish you would have known? Or what is the message that you, like, when you went to the dark depths, what did you learn there? And what are you coming back with? And what can the community gain from that? So the last phase of a rite of passage is integration. And integration means that the person comes back from the proverbial mountaintop, which in this case is the birth scenario. And you tell your community, this is what happened there. This is what I learned. This is the animal I saw. This is the symbolism for me of what this meant. And in indigenous cultures, they consider that if you don't have that integration phase, that that person will be lost. And that person perhaps will have psychosis, because they won't have any landing place for that new person, the new identity. It's not the same person that comes back. So that new person needs a home inside community. And that's where we're failing people. And what we see right now is the outcome of, you know, a few generations of people not being recognized that this is a rite of passage, whether or not you want it to be. Like, you know, it is. And you can try to push it away and ignore it, but life is both generous and cruel in that way. I think of it as a revolving door. That door is going to come back and hit you in the back again if you didn't get it the first time. Women are doing more than ever, but haven't given up any of their roles. And many women are finding, they're like, okay, so I got everything I thought I wanted. Why do I still not feel that great? So this is this amazing opportunity to repair those things.
Mm. And so much so, right? And that starts with giving yourself the permission to create that space of resting and introspection and of sharing, and, you know, back to the five universal needs that you mentioned, with nourishing food and loving touch. So is there something that relating to restoring your vitality after birth that we haven't mentioned yet that is important for us to say?
It's a radical act as a woman to put our pleasure and our pelvis on high on our priority list. And there's a lot that stands in our way of doing that. And we come up with a lot of excuses not to do it. And when we talk about patriarchy and we talk about all of the things that need to change, like, we can change that as we center our own experience in this transition. And it's not about being entitled. It's not about being a princess. It's not about being, you know, high maintenance. It's about being real about the gravity of the transition and what and it's harder than ever before for women to have babies. Our birth practices in this country are not conducive to women having uninterrupted physiological births. And so that adds to the difficulty in recovery.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is a radical act. And it's the first, as caregivers, your first charge of care should be yourself. Because otherwise the whole system breaks. Like,
yes.
You need, in order to be able to continue to taking care of people around you, you need to be taken care of. And so thank you so much for being on the show today. It was lots
of
fun.
Thank you. Thanks, Adriana.
You've been listening to a Best of Birthful episode, and there are many more where this came from. Look for episodes with the words Best of Birthful in the title to continue your deep dive to inform your intuition. You can find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, and you can also connect with us directly on Instagram. We're at Birthful Podcast. Birthful was created by me, Adriana Lozada, and is a production of LWC Studios. The show's senior producer is Paulina Velasco. Jen Chen is executive editor. Cedric Wilson is our lead producer. Kojin Toshido is our associate sound designer. Ali Kiltz contributed to the Best of Birthful series. Thank you for listening to and sharing Birthful. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere you listen. And come back for more ways to inform your intuition. Hey, Mighty One. Did you know that if you started listening to one Birthful episode per day at the start of your pregnancy, your baby would be about 3 months old before you got through all of them? That is so much Birthful. So to ease us into the summer and to help you catch up on your listening, we're going back to releasing one episode per week instead of two. Now you know.